I believe the devil works for God. I believe that the devil works for him, clearly because Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth given to me. I have all power in heaven and earth, and if he has all power, then how much power does the devil have? None. So what can the devil do without a command from the Lord? He can't do nothing. Whatever God has given him legal limits to do, that's what he can do. But as I see this picture, especially after we went down and talked to Howard Pittman, which died in 1979 and went to heaven for a couple of days and came back to life, Howard told us and talked to us about these different groups of demons that are there, and there's many different groups of demons that are allowed to attack people for certain sin. So it kind of was an eye-opener to me to think that here these demons are, one particular demon for unforgiveness, one for sexual sin, other all kinds of different sins, just like the Scripture says, that whatever you sin with is where you'll be attacked. So that's why so many men have prostate cancer, because they've been unfaithful to their wives, or they looked on pornography, or you'll see men that'll have brain tumors in their eye, or tumors in their eye that's affecting their brain. And when you go talk to them, you find out they've been looking at pornography. Now, that pornography, in fact, we had one case up north. It was so awesome. They called us, wanted us to come up there. We did. We went up there to minister. Cheryl and I both went to minister to this family. And when we went up there to minister to them, I found their sin, and the sin was pornography. He was looking at a lot of pornography. He had a beautiful little wife and I think three children. Anyway, beautiful little family. And I told him he had to stop looking at pornography. He couldn't get healed. I said, but if you'll stop looking at it, we'll pray for you and God will heal you. And so he said, well, I don't understand what faith is. I said, well, let me explain to you what faith is. We were sitting there having dinner with them that evening. We had just finished a beautiful meal his wife had fixed for us. And she asked us if we'd like a cup of tea. I said, yes, we'd love hot tea. So she poured a cup of water in each of our cups. And I said, now, I'm going to show you. At this point, I hadn't told them yet because I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew something was going to happen. They poured us a cup of hot water. Then she gave us a tea bag. We put a tea bag in our cup. And as it turned brown, you know, we took the tea bag out. And then she said, would you like some half and half? Or would you like honey, first of all? I said, yes, we love honey in our tea. So she poured us a spoonful of honey in our tea. Then she said, would you like some half and half? I said, yes, I'd love some half and half. So she opened a brand new carton of half and half and poured a little in Cheryl's tea. When she did, it clabbered immediately in Cheryl's tea. I mean, just clabbered. She said, my goodness, I just bought this at the store yesterday. I can't believe it's bad. I said, it's not bad. I said, this is the test that God's given us to show you what faith is. I said, now I'm going to show you what faith is. I said, you just saw two teacups, two bags, same honey, and everything. And now you poured the half and half in hers, and it clabbered. I said, now I'm going to guarantee you, when you pour that in mine, it's not going to clabber. It's going to be smooth because I'm walking in faith. I'm telling you, everybody in that room was on pins and needles. And she reached over and poured it in my cup. I just stirred it up. And it was just as smooth as it could be. Not a bit of clabbering. I told him, I said, now, when you really believe something with all your heart, that's what you can do. That's what you can do by faith. That's faith. In other words, I said, you didn't give my wife a chance. You just poured it in hers, and we were totally going by the world. She hadn't claimed anything. She was just going to drink a cup of hot tea. But when you poured it in her, God made it clabber, and then it's clabbered. And so I said, but now then, I've got time to claim the Word of God. And I said, I'm claiming by faith that that thing will not clabber when you pour it in mine. And it didn't. You know, that's just like when Cheryl and I first got married. We came back from out of town. We'd been gone 2 weeks. She took a gallon of milk, half a gallon of milk, out of the refrigerator. And she took it out, and she looked that day. She said, oh, my goodness gracious, this milk's nearly 3 weeks old. She said, it's way past the date, so I just started to pour it out. I said, well, honey, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm pouring out the milk. I said, no, there ain't nothing wrong with that milk. She said, honey, it's 3 weeks old. I said, don't make any difference. We wasn't here where we could drink it, so we was not putting God to the test. I said, there ain't nothing wrong with that milk. That milk is fine. Now, we hadn't been married very long when this happened. So she said, I said, pour me a glass. And she said, you can't be serious. I said, you pour me a glass. So she poured me a glass, and I started to open my mouth, and she says, aren't you going to smell of it before you drink it? I said, that would be unbelief. I said, no, I'm not going to smell it. It's going to be fine. And I drink it down, and it was perfectly sweet. And she says, is it okay? I said, yes, it's perfect. Well, she said, let me taste it. She pulled up her mouth and says, she's still walking in the flesh. You have to train a woman how to walk in faith. But she's learning. She's learned a lot in the last 6-7 years. I'll have to say that. But she poured herself a glass of that milk, and we drank it, and it was perfect. Now, the other day, I'd been here every day, and we had a half a gallon of milk that come up out here, and I went to come in here to make me some something. And I thought, well, there's that milk. I guess I better use that up. But it was two weeks old. And I went to pour some of it out, and let me tell you, it was clabbered. I thought, well, Lord, I should have drank it. I was here every day. And how many of you know milk only lasts just a certain period of time, right? Under normal conditions, it lasts a certain number of days, and then it ain't no good. You've got to drink it in that period of time. But now, if you don't put God to the test, you can be gone for a month. If you can use it by faith, it'll still be good. And I've done it. I've seen it. So, walking by faith, but what's God trying to teach us, His children, how to do? How to be an overcomer. How to walk in faith. Now, if we didn't have an adversary, if we didn't have an adversary to fight against us, how would we ever learn how to be an overcomer? We would never learn how to be an overcomer. But he says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. How would you like to be an overcomer and sit with Jesus in his throne? Is that going to be a reward that's going to be worth fighting for? I'll tell you, that's going to be a reward that's worth fighting for. I'll tell you, I'm going to give everything in my being. I want to sit with the King one day. I don't want him to come in and say, well, let's see, have I got a place far enough out in heaven for you? Do you want to be that one? No, I don't want to be that one that is barely on the edge out there in the far edge of heaven. No, I want to be sitting, I want to have a place somewhere close to the King. Don't you? Of course, yeah, we want to have a place close to the King. So, I believe that the Lord is in total control. Satan works for him. And of course, this is the way I see it in the physical world. The legislative body in Austin makes the laws for the state of Texas. We all know that, right? They make the speed rules and everything you can and can't do all over the state of Texas. And then after they make the rules, they're kind of like God. God makes the rules. He's the legislative department. He makes the rules. So then after the legislature makes the rules, they hire an executive department to enforce the rules. And who do you think that is? The police department. Is that right? Do they hire a police department, a police chief, and right on down, officers and everything to go out and enforce the rules? Is that what they do? Okay, once they've made the rules, they pass the rules on down to the police department, and the police department's job is to learn and know what the rules are. So, then they go out here, and the legislature said it's a law that to drive on the 35 out here 65 miles an hour. So they put signs up, this law is 65 miles an hour here at this. So what do you got to do? obey it. Now, as long as you obey it, you may pass by one of those guys sitting down on the side of the road, but if you're driving 65 or under, is he going to bother you? No, not at all. But if you come over that hill and you're driving 80, I mean, your heart sinks, doesn't it? You step on the brake hoping you got, but I'm sorry, your radar got you. He's going to stop you and say, what was your, I wasn't in a hurry, sir. I was just driving 65. And you're lying, too, now. See, God hates liars, too. I mean, isn't that amazing? God says, I hate lying. So you just sinned in more ways than one. So now then, if the guy, if you were a good man or woman, you'd say, Lord, you say, sir, I'm so sorry. I realize the speed limit is 65. I looked down when I saw you. I was driving 80, but I realized I'd done something terribly wrong. I just wasn't paying attention. So I guess I'll just have to pay the consequences. And the guy might say, well, since you're so nice, I might just let you go. You know, but if you try to lie to him, guess what? He's going to zap it to you. You know he's going to zap it to you. You know, I've had people that tell me this before, you know, that they're nice to the guy, you know, and he lets them off. But anyway, that's the way it is. The legislature makes the rules, and then they hire an executive department, which is the police department, and they send out, I don't mean any disrespect to our police officers, but Satan, they call those guys demons. You know, Satan sends out his demons. He's the police chief, and all of his demons in all these different departments, and he's got them, according to Howard Pittman, all different kinds to attack you for different things. You know, there's some police officers, if you're driving above the speed limit, they won't bother you at all. That's not their job. They're not a officer that works on the street. They're a detective or something else. So they work differently. So, and that's the way these demons are. They work differently. And so if you are, like I said a while ago, if you're a man and you've got prostate cancer, you may very well have been involved in some kind of sexual sin. If you're a woman and you have cervical cancer, you may very well have been involved in a sexual sin.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Live in the Word, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.